Welcome in, Sports 29 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. Thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it as always. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
Woo, boy, what's happening? What's happening, man? Boy.
People have no idea.
Boy,
what
you
just
have
took place.
No clue what just took place in order for me to be here on time, dog. I'm telling you, boy, what a day.
How much of the story of the morning would you like to share with the people? Because I'll just say this. As I was beginning that sentence, good morning, welcome in, blah, 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 I hadn't heard from Randy yet. I literally didn't know that by the end of that sentence if I would be saying good morning to Randy or good morning to Abe. And Bo gave me the thumbs up in the middle of it, and I said Randy, and Randy said hi. So we were all in that together. That was really exhilarating.
Yeah, man. Well, how you think? I'm thinking that because, you know, obviously I'm at home. The brick wasn't working. Somehow something came unplugged on the brick. The brick is what gets me to the station.
Right.
And so I'm over here looking at it, and I was like, okay, hold on. Oh, something's unplugged. What if I plug this in? And so, yeah, we in the house, man. I'm talking about bunk because it's like you're having a great morning. And you know how it is getting toddlers ready for school.
Sure.
Sometimes they just have attitudes.
Yep.
And somebody wanted cookies this morning.
Wow. Okay. So you and I had a similar morning in that sense because we had a rough one at my house too.
I'm like, no,
reason.
You cannot have any cookies, Sebastian. I want cookies. And so I'm driving, taking them to the sitter, and I hear a pow.
Ooh.
And I saw something pop out from up under my car. I'm like, what the hell was that? Information to let you know. And so my tire's flat. Vroom, 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 vroom. Oh, God. Luckily, I was by a gas station. Mm-hmm. And so I get to the gas station, and I'm like, okay, I hate changing the tire on the Suburbans because of the jack. Mm-hmm. I just don't like that jack. It's fallen before years ago.
Yeah.
But luckily, I was next to a body shop, all right? Literally next to it. So I run over there. I got Sebastian. I'm running over there. And it's literally like 25 yards. Do you have a jack so I can jack this car, get this tire off, and all these things? He said, I got you. Can you bring it over here? I said, the tire's popped. He was like, just drive it slow. Fine. Take it over there, Andy. Take it to the back. We get it, Jack. Then, with the Suburban, to get the spare tire, you got to have this little crank thing.
Is it underneath?
Yes, it's underneath.
Okay.
Okay, so get into the back where the back is. There's no crank thing.
Huh.
Yes. So, I'm not going to put on blast the dealership where I got the car at, but yes, there's no crank thing in the back.
And
so
it's like, because you it's a pretty recent purchase.
Yes.
Like, you haven't
yes.
had this car for maybe a month.
Yes.
So, this has never come up before.
No.
Yeah.
And so, I'm like, oh, God. And so, the young man who's trying to help, he is like looking through all the cars there trying to find the whole thing. Trying to find, and note, I'm a mile from Mavis. Mavis is right around the corner.
Okay.
So, but I can't drive there. So, I'm like, okay, what the hell? So, that's why I call Abe. I'm like, okay, I don't know what's going to happen, but looks like I'm working from home. And luckily, my wife calls and say, I need you to come get Sebastian, take him, because I can't work and have him run around this damn house.
Right.
That's just a disaster. And so I'm sitting there. It's literally like 10:30. And then the owner, he comes out. He said, you know, what size tire is that? And I tell him, he said, you know, we might have a spare in the back. Luckily, they go back. There's a spare in the back. The young man who was working his ass off, bop, 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 gets it here. I pull in here at my driveway at 10:53.
Oh.
Wife is already here. I run downstairs because they're about to cut in my neighbor's yard, and so I know how loud that's going to be down in the basement.
Right.
So I'm running up here with the equipment, trying to get it set up, and then I cut it on. It's not working. So I'm like, okay, I ain't going today. It's just one of them signs where I do not need to go to work.
Yeah. How close were you just to being like, you know what, personal day? It's just going to be a personal day.
If this thing I just plugged in didn't work, oh, I was calling it.
Yeah, and
I was calling.
No one would have blamed you. Like that's a set of circumstances that there's nothing you can do to control that. But you know what?
I'm in the house.
The universe had a different idea, Randy.
Yeah, man. I'm in the house though, man. But yeah, man. I appreciate, man. It was funny because I don't panic, man, but I was getting real agitated.
Sure.
Because I'm like, okay. But yeah, real quick, shout out to the people over at Killian Auto Service.
Okay.
Man, they just, I mean, that young man who works in the back, I mean.
I bet he got a decent little tip, didn't he?
And then it was like, I asked how much it was. He was like, $20. And the way he said it was like he wasn't going to charge me for nothing. I was like, oh, okay. So I got the money. Then I'm going to rush back after the show and go give the young man some a nice tip and everything,
there
man. But yeah, it was one of the mornings, Andy. It was one of the mornings.
Well, here we are.
Here we are.
Hopefully the next 2 hours and 52 minutes will go better and make you feel a little more at ease and all that. The Braves won.
Yes, they did.
Braves won again.
Tried to trick it off.
Well, they started off trying to trick it,
you
know? Bryce Elder gave up a home run in the first inning, and it was like, come on, guys, we're not. The Rockies, they're terrible. They got 4 wins on the season, but he settled in. He ended up going 6, didn't allow any more runs after that, which was great. The Braves kind of scrapped together 6 runs as the game went on, which whatever. As long as you have more runs than the Rockies at the end of it, that's all that really matters. But, boy, are the Rockies terrible.
Yes,
like,
they
just
are.
Watching that game is like so many little, you know, little dribblers that get through the infield or little bloops that most teams would have come up with that dropped. A couple swinging bunts that didn't make it 10 feet past the plate that ended up scoring runs. Like, and this is how I knew the Rockies were terrible. Well, I knew they were terrible when I looked at their record yesterday and it was 4-23.
Uh-huh.
But when their pitcher, Feltner, couldn't get off the mound because his back hurt on that swinging bunt, and he looked like, you know, he looked like every middle-aged guy, like trying to bend over and pick something up, and then they kept him in the game.
Yep.
I was like, most teams take a guy out when he can't bend over. Not the Rockies. I said, man, you got to get through five, man. I don't care if your back hurts. You got to get out there and get 100 pitches in. We don't have anybody else to go. That's how I knew they were terrible, when they kept him in there when he looked like a grandpa.
Hey, man, I mean, the thing with it was just funny because you're like, okay, that dropped? Oh, okay.
Yeah, all right.
Because Andy, the thing about it is that all the, like, little infield, they were slow rollers.
They were.
It wasn't
nothing was hit hard.
Nothing was hit hard, and it was just, like, squeezing through the gap and everything. And I got a question. Did that ball hit Michael Harris with the relay throw? Because you know, when Michael hit the double and the relay throw was coming.
It looked like it
hit him. And so I was like, what the hell is going on? And then that's when I said to myself, they better not lose this damn team.
Yeah.
They better not drop a game to the damn Rockies. They are awful.
Awful.
They are a bad baseball team. But, I mean, you think about the Braves. I mean, 8 of the last 10.
Yep.
And I saw a stat this morning. They scored 4 runs in 10-plus games, which is freaking awesome. And considering it probably should be more, you know, as many times they've been on base, it should be somewhere around 6 or 7, I would think. But, it was a good win against a bad team. It was like one of them slump buster teams. You know, now, what's his name, Verdugo?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, he has been solid. His fielding. Now, y'all didn't tell me about, you know, where he ranks. Now, is he – like Marcell Ozuna would have made that catch.
You know, it's an interesting question. We've been treated to some real special outfield experiences over the last couple of years. Because, like, you know, remember Soler last year.
Yeah.
Soler is probably the worst outfielder I've ever seen playing every single day when he got here last year.
Right.
I mean, look, Ozuna clearly is so ungood at outfield that they can't even put him out there in extreme situations. Yeah, then, I don't know. You know, he misjudged it. And then I think there was a hole in his glove or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to Alex Verdugo.
Yeah.
But there's a reason why these guys are available, you know? Like, there's a reason why the Braves are able to grab these guys off the scrap heap when they need them, you know? It's not because they're gold glovers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
They all have a flaw, you know? But you just got to try to get the most out of them you can. That's why Verdugo's batting 350.
I mean, you take the good with the bad.
The occasional blunder we'll take out there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you take the good with the bad, you know, when you're in this situation right there.
Exactly.
I'm just waiting for the adventures of Eddie Rosario in the corner.
We'll get him.
Yeah. I'm just waiting on.
Because he's another one who's just, you don't know. The ball gets hit to his part of the outfield. You just don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
Now we got some good outfielders too. Obviously, Michael Harris is incredible. Other people historically.
Eli White made a great catch yesterday.
Eli White is a very solid outfielder.
Great catch yesterday.
I was going to say Kelnick, but he's been an adventure this year. When he's been up, he's prone to take a bad route. So maybe Kelnick's not the best. Hey, Ronald Acuña is a really good outfielder when he's healthy. You know, just. Hadn't played yet this year, but at some point he will.
What's going on with this? Because I saw something yesterday, like early May, he's going to start assignments?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Okay. And that's the rehab, or what is it? Is it
that's
like
rehab.
I'm talking about just baseball activities.
Yeah.
Running, cutting, like that.
You know, all I saw yesterday, I saw that Snit didn't provide any further updates when they asked him before the game. So,
right.
I mean, the timeline is still kind of, as far as I've seen, unless you guys have seen a more clear one than that.
I thought it was somewhere on May 2nd, 3rd or something like that.
As far as the rehab assignment started and that kind of stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if that goes well, that's still going to be a couple weeks before, you know, so maybe mid to late May before you actually see him up.
We did say, that's what I think it was last week we were talking about. They said May.
Yeah,
it's 31 days in May.
May's a long month.
Yeah, May's a long month.
May's
so
a long month.
Ain't no guarantee of when that's going to actually happen. But, it'd be good to have him back. But, hey, winning is winning. Don't really matter. Because when you're talking about a team as sorry as this, and I mean they are sorry. They are a sorry piece of people.
They're terrible.
And I saw the stands, and the fans know they're some sorry people.
Yeah, they do.
Yes, they do. But, you know, and that's why I said when Bryce Elder gave us that home run, I was like, nah, man, this ain't going to do here. And then I'm not going to say no names because I wish I was there. But my brother that I could stare right across to behind the glass, yeah, he was ready to get rid of him. Get him out of there. I've seen enough. I've seen enough, Bo. When Bo gets mad, yeah.
He was done with Elder?
Oh, yeah.
After the first?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Quick trigger for Bo.
I ain't mad at him. I was, too.
Three-run home run in the first inning.
It's true.
Look, he did settle down. He turned out all right, but that's every start with this guy.
I know.
But, Bo,
true.
You never
that's
get
been true.
Bo, when does Bo get that emotional, though?
Only about the Braves.
Yes.
And probably the Saints and LSU, but I'm never around him during the Saints and LSU.
Yes.
The Braves, for sure, 100%. No, that's been the thing with Elder. He has he's made, like, two or three bad pitches per outing, and the other team has made him pay for them. You can't really afford to do that. When you're kind of limited stuff wise, like he is, but he settled down. He went six innings. That lineup's terrible. They're going to get three from him at some point. I guess they got him early, and then the next five innings they didn't get anything. I'll also say this: we have now gone one full appearance from Russell Iglesias since he last gave up a home run. I'm starting the Raffy counter. Okay,
no,
I'm starting it. That's one. That's one appearance without giving up a home run, and for him. That's impressive.
He's a damn closer, Andy.
He's not good right now, Randy. He's working through some stuff.
Working through what?
Home runs.
That's what I'm saying.
Working through the long balls. He's given up. Yeah, he's got five saves this year, and he's given up five home runs. We got to get the saves higher than the home runs.
Really?
Yeah, really.
He's the closer, Andy.
I know, he's not good.
He's the closer, Andy.
Well, I'm just being honest about it, Randy. He's not good right now.
I know, but we got to figure out a way to make him good because that guy.
Wow.
Thank God that's not my job. This is the only thing I'm worried about, all right, is that they're waiting on that guy that's in Gwinnett right now.
No.
Andy.
No.
Come on, man.
They're not going to put Craig Kimbrell out there unless Iglesias gets hurt.
All right.
I'm just saying, I'm celebrating the positive.
Okay. I mean, that's what we do here on the show.
Yeah.
We celebrate the positive.
He went one whole outing and didn't give up any home runs.
That's not a good thing to say about your
Well
closer.
Done. It is a good thing to say. It would be bad to say if he gave up a home run.
Yeah. At least he's not giving up home runs.
Yeah. And then if he does it again, next time we can say two. And who knows? Maybe it's the start of something. We'll come back. We'll get to what's trending here to kick off the show. Braves win over the Rockies last night. We don't know who's even starting for the Braves today. So, you know, doesn't matter. The Rockies are terrible. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Michael, out into right center. The Braves were down 3-0, and now they're trying to take a 5-3 lead, and they will. Both Ozuna and Ozzie score on the interesting throw back in. Two RBI double for Michael Harris.
The interesting throw back in. Yeah. Just a kind of a comedy of errors for the Colorado Rockies. The Braves had 14 hits yesterday, and I would bet, I don't know what, maybe five of them were hit really hard, you know?
Yeah.
More than half of them felt like they were little bloops, dribblers, squibblers, whatever. But got the job done. Braves get the win over a terrible Rockies team, 6-3 yesterday. Elder gives up the homer early and then settles down. And don't know who's going today for the
Which
Braves.
Which is weird. Would it be Ian Anderson since they brought him back?
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
It'd
be an option. I heard AJ Smith-Shawver could potentially get the call.
Is he already? I didn't know he's out there with him.
Maybe he got Blewett. He did okay last time.
You talking about doing a bullpen game, opener or closer, whatever the hell it's called?
Yeah, like, those are kind of the options.
Oh man, just let Ian go.
Okay.
Yeah, let Ian go. Since he's there,
he is there. Yeah. I'm just, you know. That would be fine with me. I really like Ian Anderson. I was really pulling for him in spring, and it didn't go great. I do just wonder, like, he wasn't good enough to make the team out of spring, right? So they traded him.
Right.
To a really bad Angels team. He played so bad for the Angels that the Angels got rid of him and nobody else picked him up.
How bad was he?
It was bad enough for the Angels to cut him, and they're terrible.
Maybe they wanted to give him an opportunity not to be on a bad team.
And then the Braves bring him back. I just wonder, like, what's changed, you know?
Yeah, I understand. I mean, I completely understand. I mean, it's something we talked when we found out that he was coming back, and we go back to when the Braves released him, how open and honest and critical Schnitt was about it.
Yeah.
Like, damn, Schnitt ain't never like that about anybody.
Well, he just wasn't good enough.
Yeah, wasn't good enough.
You know how bad you have to be for Schnitt to be honest about you not being good enough?
Pretty bad.
Pretty bad.
Pretty bad. And so you look at it from that standpoint, and it's like, does Alex not – is it just a comfortability with people, with agents?
I don't know.
I don't know. But
I don't know.
I know there's another probably, but then what do you have to give up to get him or something like that? I'm like, I'm sure there's a capable starting pitcher on somebody's team that they can bring in or on their streets. But yeah, that, you know,
it's just so early in the year, you know,
exactly.
for trades.
Exactly.
Let me ask you this, because who knows? Maybe it'll be Ian Anderson. Hopefully he does great if it is. If it's Scott Blewett, if he gets another opener starter thing, whatever, hopefully he does well. The Rockies should be bad enough for the Braves to be able to win kind of no matter what, but we'll see. What do you think of Snit's goatee?
His lady told him to do it.
Feels like that, doesn't it?
Yeah. That's something that when you're at that advanced age, when you start doing stuff to your face and stuff like that, it's your lady.
Because Snit's always been a pretty, like, clean-shaven, as far as I know. Now, there's pictures of
with stash.
Back in the day, mustache Snit. Yeah, yes. For sure. Which, I mean, bring it back. You know, mustache Snit would be fine with me. But yeah, goatee Snit is it's a little bit of a different vibe, I feel like.
Yeah, man. Yeah, but that's your lady right there, man, which is awesome. It's awesome because, I mean, you be with your woman sometimes. Sometimes she wants to see something different on you.
What's the last facial hair suggestion that your lady's given you?
Never nothing in life.
Really?
No. My wife.
Maybe we're not old enough yet for that.
Yeah, I mean, because my haircut and my facial hair is the same as always. Now, I did attempt to grow my hair out one time, and she wasn't a big fan of that. But
why?
I don't know. And neither am I. Like, I got I've had braids twice, both times in college in Georgia.
Yeah.
And it's a process because the first time I messed it up because I listen to dumb people and put a perm in my head, Andy. Man, I'm talking about it was so straight and so many loose ends. And I swear, Andy, I swear to you, when I would wash it, it would lay down like I was like the Temptations back in the day.
Okay.
That's how it would lay down when I washed it.
Yeah.
And so I wore it that whole year and I cut it off and then I grew it back and I just let it grow. And the thing about it was just one, because Mark Rick would not let us wear stocking caps.
Oh.
So we couldn't wear durags. So I would always get my hair braided. I would get my hair braided every Friday afternoon after practice, wearing the game, and it'd be so messed up from the helmet that I would have to take it down.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's too bad.
Yeah, they wouldn't let us wear durags.
That little hat's going to help keep the braids better.
Yeah, man. But but they were long enough because, you know, ain't nothing worse than them short braids that stop above the hairline. Now, I ain't never had that situation.
Do we have any photographic evidence of Perm Randy?
Not Perm Randy.
God, I'd like
not
to
perm Randy.
That.
No, not perm Randy. But yeah, that thing used to lay. I used to wash that thing. Used to lay down. nothing like a nappy perm, bro.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. My wife just wants me to have a beard all the time.
I know,
all the time, and I don't have one right now. I cut it. I've been going clean shaved for the last couple of weeks. I don't know why. Switch it up. I don't know.
Hey, she likes the mountain man, Andy.
It's too hot, man.
I know, that's right.
We live in Georgia. It's about to be really hot. It's not even hot yet. It's about to be hot. I don't like having a thick beard in August in Georgia, but she likes it. She wants me to look like a lumberjack.
There you go.
I don't
blame
her. All right, so here's this is Mike Mayock and Rich Eisen from the Rich Eisen Show yesterday talking about Jalen Walker in the Falcons draft.
Walker, you say you had a better grade on him than you do Abdul Carter. Like, why?
I put the tape on, the Georgia tape on Jalen Walker, and he's an off-the-ball linebacker at 243 pounds, and my jaw dropped watching him run. His twitch, his speed, his quickness, his change of direction. But what really intrigued me is on sub-packages, Rich, they played him everywhere from the A-gap over the center all the way out wide as a pass rusher, and I have in my notes all over the place for Jalen Walker, every tape I watched, I have Micah Parsons.
Yep.
Micah Parsons.
Yep.
Micah, he reminds me so much of Micah Parsons.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that a lot of times when you would see him play in that Georgia scheme, how they went on third down, put him in sub package. That's why a lot of guys leave, because of that simple fact right there. Because it's the whole thing. I talked to Rusty about it. But anyways. I love Mike Mayock's take on the draft. He's always one of my favorites. Now, the general manager of Mike Mayock,
yeah,
it kind of takes it away from.
That's why I'm pretending that never happened.
Yeah, it kind of takes it away from it sometimes.
That was TV analyst Mike Mayock,
but I used to love watching and listening to Mike break down and twitchy and tight hips and all those different things.
That's the same guy that drafted Cleveland Farrell number four overall.
Yeah, and
what
was the thug from Ohio State, Argonaut? He did get the Jacobs pick right.
Hey, but they got Crosby right.
Yep. Oh, he did draft Max Crosby in the fourth round.
Yeah.
So yeah, he did value. Some good things.
He did some good things.
Yeah, good things. But no, I think the versatility is what something that stood out at Georgia when you watch him play. But it goes back to what Coach Brick said about him when asked about where they were going to start him out. They're going to start him on the edge. They're going to start him on the edge and then allow him to do it. Now, just because you start him on the edge doesn't mean he's not going to do some of the things like Micah does. Now, that's a high praise. And I promise you, yeah. I did not know Micah did what he does now coming out of college.
Right.
I did not. Right. I did not know that he was that type of pass rusher and uses his leverage the way he did. So I can't sit here and say that Jalen's going to do that. I didn't know Micah could do that until I saw Micah do it in Dallas.
Right.
And I was like, oh, my God.
Well, and it's also, you know, it's hard to know what a guy can do level to level. Like,
right.
Some people can do stuff in college that then you get to the NFL and it's just different. You can't do it. So when you see someone do it on Sunday, it's like, oh, God, this guy can do anything.
Yeah.
Like, this
yeah.
guy's capable, really, of doing anything defensively. Now, what I learned throughout the interview process, I know Carl and Mike asked Jalen Walker about it. He's got a relationship with Micah Parsons too, which yeah. is kind of fun. Like
yeah.
now again, a relationship with a guy doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be able to do the things the guy does, but when you're being compared to him a little bit and you're sort of in that mold and you have a relationship with him too, that's kind of fun.
Good Lord, if he can be Micah Parsons.
Well, then, yeah, we're in for some fun, you know?
It just seems like it, doesn't it? It does.
Can I be honest with you?
I'm listening.
I'm not trying to get crazy because we don't do that. You know, you try to stay rational, and who knows? The only thing that matters is what happens on the 17 Sundays when the fall comes around and all that kind of stuff. But, like, now the draft has come and gone, I feel really good about what they did, especially in the first round. I'm excited for Penix. I love the weapons on offense. Like, I've kind of allowed myself to start to,
start to what?
Just dream a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not crazy. I'm not dreaming, you know. I'm not crazy. Mm-hmm. But it almost feels like optimism.
Yeah, because, I mean, Micah's what, 6'3", 240? Micah Parsons is 6'3", 245.
Uh-huh.
But, what? Hold on. Okay, I understand.
It just feels a little bit like optimism.
I understand where you're coming from. I need to know. I thought about this morning, Andy. Where is Mike Bell at? Because Mike Bell gave up. Mike, after the season, we started the preseason with all the damn the combine stuff. My boy Mike Bell was done.
Yeah,
where is Mike Bell at?
I don't know.
Okay, I need to ask Mike Bell where he's at.
I cannot. My pendulum does not swing that far in either direction.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand exactly what you mean.
I can't do that. I can't. And God bless Mike for being able to, for being over there and all that. That's an emotional range that I don't have. Okay. All I'm saying is, after that, and now a couple of days, and hearing people rave and all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
and obviously the Penix part of it is a big part of it for me too, the bias okay. and all that. I don't know. I'm just starting to poking my head up out of the ground, feeling like the groundhog, and I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I'm excited.
Okay, I mean, there's nothing wrong with being excited. I want you to be excited. We want Falcons fans to be excited.
But I want to really be excited. I don't want to be like. Yeah, you know, you kind of look at it like this, and the division sucks.
Like double dutching.
Like I don't want to be excited with caveats.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I don't want to be excited with conditions.
Right.
Like I want to be genuine, and I don't know. Like it's still early.
Yes, it is.
It's early onset excitement.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
We might not be there yet. I don't.
The draft does that. When you get players that you know and good players added to your team, you get excited, especially when you know that you got a quarterback. They have a quarterback and all this. There's nothing wrong with being excited.
I've got excited symptoms. If you plugged up, into WebMD, it would say you might be excited.
We've been together so long.
You might need
to
consult the doctor.
But we've been together so long. I know the disappointment face of Andy Bunker.
Yeah, but the other thing, we've been together long enough, and I've never really been excited about the Falcons. Every year we've gone into it and been like, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we have.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Last year was like the closest. We were like, I don't know, because Kirk's like, you know, if he plays up to how he has, they might be all right.
Yeah.
You know?
Not knowing what was going to happen.
No, and when he did play all right, they were all right.
Yeah.
You know? But even that, like, that's not what I want. I want to genuinely be excited. Like, it would really be cool to go in.
I think the closer we get to training camp when we get up there, you will be.
I think I will be too.
Yeah.
I think I will be too. Just, you know, that's when you can get hurt. I think I'm ready.
Don't guard your heart.
I think I'm, yeah, you know what? I'm ready.
Don't guard your heart.
I'm ready to get hurt again. All right.
Don't guard your heart.
Let's get Mike Conte in here. We'll talk a little draft reaction with Mike. We haven't talked to Mike about the Hawks front office moves yet, so we'll get some of that. And I don't know if you feel the need to ask him anything about Atlanta United, we can do that too. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. Continue reacting to the aftermath of the NFL draft.
You know what we talk about all the time about after the draft or the draft rate?
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, you want to do some of those?
No. Hell no. Oh. But the funny part about those things is when it's bad, you hate the person. But when it's good, like, oh, see?
I know.
It's the funniest damn thing in the world.
So you do care about draft grades. You just want them to be good draft grades.
Right.
Because when somebody throws out a C-minus, for instance.
You don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, people say that they should be fired. But then when there's somebody who's like, yeah, I think they did a great job, I'm going to give them an A. They're like, see, that guy knows. It's like, wait a minute. You have to either care or not care. And my stance is to not care about the grade. Like, I want the analysis. I love hearing the analysis from these people that know what they're talking about.
Right.
As far as the player and where he might fit into the team and all that kind of stuff. I like that. But yeah, I mean, put a grade on it. It just seems silly, but I get it. You got to do it. You got to get clicks and engagement and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, we'll get there in 20 minutes. Mike Conte joins us right now, as he always does on Tuesdays at this time. Now, Mike anchored our draft coverage on Thursday night. Very exciting night. What was the, because I know you guys were off the air by the time they traded back in to get the second round pick,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
But when they made the first round pick and then you were still down there when it happened, mm-hmm. like what was the reaction to all of that?
Definitely the most positively received first round pick the Falcons have had probably since at least Julio and maybe longer. I mean, we have been at that draft party before, but we've joked about it, and there have been some moments like Penix last year was one where no one really understood any of it. Even the Drake London pick a couple of years ago, I remember there was a guy in front of our broadcast position. He was wearing a Falcons hat. Now, remember, this is a party for season ticket holders.
Mm-hmm.
He's wearing a Falcons hat. He slams the hat to the ground and starts stomping on it because he was that upset about Drake London.
Who did he want? Garrett Wilson or something?
I'm trying to remember of who else was on the board at that time.
That was the Garrett Wilson draft.
There was some good receivers in the class. Yeah. I do remember people were mad that London was their guy.
I think it was also like, why are you taking another wide receiver? You need an edge.
Sure.
You know, this way... The all-timer for me was the Chris Lidstrom. Like,
yes.
That was – and I think you were there, weren't you?
Randy was with
I
him.
I was there, and your face
you
said
remember?
It all. Yes, Mike, you came back, you said, oh, you're not going to believe this. And all, me, Dave, and Wesley's like, what?
Yeah. Well, I just remember, like, there's all this hype in the stadium. There were some really recognizable names on the board at that time, too. I feel like it was around the 15th overall pick.
Yeah, 14.
And they announce Chris Lindstrom. And everyone in the stadium is kind of like, who's that? And they blow the train horn. So, like, we've got all these people looking around like, who's Chris Lindstrom? What? Why didn't they take this guy? And then, you know, it was just the surreal scene. This was, I think, the most popular first-round pick that the Falcons have made in quite some time. You could go to Julio. Some people have said Matt Ryan. I don't even remember there was full consensus about Matt Ryan when he was picked. So it's remarkable to me that this is the first time ever the Falcons have taken someone from Georgia in one of the first two rounds. Incredible coincidence. Really fortunate that it worked out the way that it did for the Falcons, because the more that we're learning now, you know, first of all, taking all 10 minutes to make the pick, I think, was a clear sign they were trying to trade out of it. I think Pierce was their guy all along. Mm-hmm. But when someone just kind of falls into your lap and presents himself in the way that Walker fell to them, you can't say no to it when it's right. All said and done. So, you know, if everything works out from an injury standpoint, you have found now your two edge rushers that hopefully you can build around for the next 5 years. I really like what they did later in the draft, but easily the most popular first-round pick the Falcons have made in quite some time, based on what I saw at the draft party.
Mike, when you look at the depth that they've tried to acquire at that position, the outside pass rush position, does it look like one of those things where you're like, okay, this guy's coming in, like, if he doesn't get 10 sacks this year, but yet he contributes to, say, 7, is that – because I know that a lot of people want to put the draft class on the James Pierce comeback to get him. But if he's at 7 sacks
I'd be thrilled with that, wouldn't you?
Yes,
great output.
7 sacks would have led the Falcons team every single year dating back to when Adrian Claiborne had 9.
And sadly, by multiple sacks in most cases.
Yeah. That would be the best year a Falcons pass rusher has had in like 7 years.
Yeah, I would be thrilled with that. And if the two of them combine for 12 or 13, I'd be thrilled with that too. I think, you know, again, I don't want it to be just about output and the sack number, because as you know, Randy, so much of it comes down to pressures and hurries and quarterback hits and things like that. And sometimes you can get home and not get the guy on the ground. But I'm looking for the disruption. I'm looking for someone who can get to the quarterback within, you know, 2 or 3 seconds and give the secondary time to, you know, do what they need to do. And, I really like going out and getting Bowman and Watts later in this draft and shoring up the safety position. I think it all kind of is interconnected. I'm not going to dwell on, oh, Pierce only had 5 sacks. That's a bust. Or, you know, Walker, he only had 6 sacks this year. I was hoping for 12. To me, it's more about the overall mentality of, not mentality, but the overall disruption that you hope that these two can cause.
Me too. I mean, look, people can judge it however they want. If it's going to come down to whether or not James Pierce is a Pro Bowler for the next 3 years, and because you traded to get him and gave up a next year pick and all that kind of stuff, that's fine. But like, if we're talking about a Falcons pass rush that over the next 3 to 5 years is one of the better pass rushes in the league, then they fixed it.
Like, absolutely.
That's the goal is to no longer be what they've been, which is the worst pass rush in the NFL for a very long time.
Yeah.
If we're talking about like a top 10 pass rush over the next 3 to 5 years to go along with everything else that they have, that's how I'm going
to
judge it.
Get me to top 12 in sacks. Get me to top 12 in sacks this year. It's a success. Even if that means Pierce has 3 and someone else has 10. You know, get me to top 12. Get me in that top third in the league in sacks. It has not been that way since, I think, 2016.
Yeah, somewhere there.
You know?
Even then, they were top half.
You had Beasley who went crazy, but no one else really did. Mm-hmm. So it might even be further back than that. Boy, if you get that turned around and suddenly you've made yourself a top third defense at getting to the quarterback, it's going to take care of all kinds of other problems for the Falcons. So that's where I want to be.
Mike and Andy mentioned, because we have not talked to you since all the upheaval with the Hawks and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, me and Andy, we threw our hat in the ring as far as, you know, being affirmed to find you another basketball or president of basketball operations or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Do you think they try to go swinging, like one of those guys who's already been established, or is it somebody who's a GM on somebody's team that they might bring in to be the president? How do you think this search is going off right now for them?
I think they are very zeroed in on one or two candidates. Okay. And the two candidates that I think they're zeroed in on, based on what I have been told, have both either been general managers or are current general managers in the NBA. In fact, I think both of them have been. I don't think either are current, from what I've been told. But that's the type of profile I think they're looking for there. I want to just kind of backtrack for a moment. I thought Landry Fields did a really good job. I thought he did a really good job, especially this year. Mm-hmm. He nailed the Dyson Daniels trade. Mm-hmm. Great job. I think he got pretty much everything right at the trade deadline. I know there's still some people who miss DeAndre Hunter around here. DeAndre Hunter is still playing. He's in the second round of the playoffs. I still think the totality of the Hawks is made better as a result of the moves that Landry Fields made, bringing in George Niang and LeVert and Terrence Mann. So he's right. He got the Risache pick right over Sarr. I know Sarr had a good close to the season. Risache, you know, probably will be runner-up for Rookie of the Year, I think. Maybe he wins. I think he'll probably be runner-up. I think he got pretty much right. So Landry Fields deserves a lot of credit for what he did within, you know, quite frankly, the realities of what he had to him to make the team better. I thought he did a really, really good job. So that said, if you're going to move on from him, you've got to make a big splash, you know. And this is one of the things, like we talk about this in MLS sometimes, you know, when you have salary caps and spending restrictions and things like that, one area where you can make your team a lot better without having to worry about a salary cap is spending for a coach, spending for a front office, spending for a general manager, president of basketball ops, whatever. So here's an opportunity now for the Hawks. They can go out, they can spend a lot of money to bring a big name in, and they don't have to worry about going into the luxury tax for front office, or the luxury tax overall. It seems like a really good opportunity for the Hawks to take advantage of. So we'll see what it. I think they are very locked in on one particular candidate right now. For one, But
if I guess his name, will you say that I'm right?
Not on the air, I will.
Okay.
And that's about like the whole Terry thing last week.
Yeah, it's like when Terry Fontenot showed me his phone when he got a text message from a GM.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, and he really did.
Wow.
He was like, "Don't tell anybody."
But
about
don't tell
it.
Him. And you have kept the secret.
Yeah, to my grave.
It's in the lockbox.
It's in there.
Yeah.
I told Jack, but Jack didn't know how to talk.
Well, here's the other thing too. Like, I could give you the name, and then something could change. I could look like a dope. So, I think they are locked on the general profile of what they are locked in on. What they're going to try to bring in is someone who has a track record of success with roster building.
Yeah.
And a little bit, maybe roster overhauls the wrong way to put it, but roster modification might be a better way to phrase it. Because if you look at the way that the Hawks, this in the press release that they put out last week, I thought it was really interesting. They said something to the effect of, we have a lot of complicated decisions that we need to make this offseason. And we need someone who can guide a lot of complicated decisions. Well, I can think of one.
Yeah,
very complicated.
There's only
decision.
One complicated decision,
yes.
And it's what they're going to do with Trae Young.
That's right.
That's it. That's
and
the
I
only
think
complicated
they've kind
decision.
Of put it there in plain sight in that press release. Like, you're going to be bringing in, I don't know if you call him GM or vice president or president of basketball ops, or I don't know what the title will be, but you're going to bring in someone whose first major decision is either going to be to affirm what you've done with Trae Young or make the decision on Trae Young.
Right.
And then deal with the aftermath or the building around him.
Right.
That's probably number one.
So there's
on that list.
And again, I don't, maybe this is not that, like a fair read on this, slanted in a biased direction, whatever, and that it might be. But like, that sounds to me like they're so unsure.
Well, I think they're very sure.
Oh, really?
Why don't they just do it then? Like, what do they need somebody else
to now?
Why do they need somebody else to come in here and tell them whether or not they've been right about
that's
Trae
not what I said. That what I mean is, if they have made the decision, now you're going to bring in someone who's going to help you manage what to do going forward.
No, but what I mean is, if the biggest decision or the most complicated decision in the franchise is what to do with Trae going forward.
Yeah.
They can't make that decision? Like, you got to go get somebody else to come do that?
Oh, I see.
That seems wild to me.
I probably misspoke. So let me try to clean this up. I think the owner, GM, the coach, like, I think they all pretty much know by now what they would prefer to do with Trae Young. Now, I don't know what the answer is.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
But my guess is,
maybe Landry had a different vision than that.
I don't know that. Okay. I don't even know that. But my guess is, like, I don't think they're sitting around, I don't know what to do. Let's bring in someone who will tell us what
to
do.
Okay, good.
I don't get that vibe.
Good.
I think they, I just don't know what the decision is. What you're trying to do is find, let's again call him president of basketball ops. I'm sure through the process of finding that person, they're going to say, look, here's what we think we should do with Trae. Let's get your input on that. And then, you know, if the input matches our idea, good, let's move forward. If your input doesn't match, okay, explain why, and let's see where we go from there.
I will say, if because there's been names out there, like rumored names that are tied to the job. If those names are right, like some of the way that those teams were built when those guys had success in other places – were by going into the luxury tax. Like, in some cases, extremely into the luxury tax. Now, they won championships because of it. And so I don't know which one's the chicken or the egg. But, like, if I'm the guy and they're like, all right, what are you going to do? It's like, well, when we did it there, we did get all the guys. But then we had to pay a whole bunch of money to keep them.
Yes.
In fact, one year in Golden State, we were $100 million into the luxury tax. Yeah. Now, we won a championship that year. But we were so far into the luxury tax.
Do you know how hard it would be for the Hawks to get that far into the luxury tax in one off season?
Yes, it would be. Yes,
that would be breathtaking. I don't know how.
I'm not saying that that's what they're going to. Like, the guy would be like, part of my success strategy, has been you're going to have to pay a whole bunch of money to help me build this roster.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Doesn't end of the conversation.
I think it's going to be really, really interesting, and you know, it looks like the Hawks are probably going to get a pick around 14, in that 13-14 range. So The offseason starts now for them and the Miami Heat.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
We'll talk about that in the noon hour also. That was an embarrassment last night on an NBA basketball court. Thank you, Mike.
All right.
Appreciate it, Mike. We'll come back. We'll get you an NFL No Huddle. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.